Here it was Pierce's turn to be greatly discomfited.
"My dear Elizabeth," he said, stammering, "I do not know how to say this."
And he broke off, shaking his head. It seemed that tears were welling up in his eyes.
"When I did not hear from you in Paris, I naturally assumed that you were displeased with me, and, well, as time passed..."
Pierce suddenly straightened.
"I regret to inform you that I am betrothed."
Elizabeth Trent stared. Her mouth fell open.
"Yes," Pierce said. "It is true. I have given my word."
"But to whom?"
"To a French lady."
"A French lady?"
"Yes, I fear it is true, all true. I was most desperately unhappy, you see."
"I do see, sir,"
she snapped, and turned abruptly on her heel and walked away. Pierce remained standing on the pavement, trying to appear as abject as possible, until she had climbed into her carriage and driven off. Then he continued down Regent Street. Anyone who observed him might have noticed that at the bottom of Regent Street there was nothing about his manner or carriage that indicated the least remorse. He boarded a cab to Windmill Street, where he entered an accommodation house that was a known dolly mop's lurk, but one of the better class of such establishments. In the plush velvet hallway, Miss Miriam said, "He's upstairs, third door on the right." Pierce went upstairs and entered a room to find Edgar seated chewing a mint.
"Bit late," Edgar said.
"Trouble?"
"I ran into an old acquaintance."
Edgar nodded vaguely.
"What did you see?" Pierce said.
"I called two,"
Edgar said. "Both riding your tail, nice-like. One's a crusher in disguise. The other's dressed as a square-rigged sport. Followed you all the way down Harley Road and took a cab when you climbed aboard."
Pierce nodded. "I saw the same two in Regent Street."
"Probably lurking outside now," Edgar said. "How's Willie?"
"Willie looks to be turning nose," Pierce said.
"Must have done a job."
Pierce shrugged.
"What's to be done with Willie, then?" "He'll be getting what any gammy Trasino gets."
"I'd bump him,"
Edgar said.
"I don't know about bumping," Pierce said, "but he won't have another chance to blow on us."
"What do you do with the officers?"
"Nothing for the moment," Pierce said. "I've got to think a bit."
And he sat back, lit a cigar, and puffed in silence. The planned robbery was only 5 days away, and the police were onto him. If Willie had sung, and loudly, then the police would know that Pierce's gang had broken into the London Bridge Terminus offices.
"I need a new lay," he said, and stared at the ceiling. "A proper flash lay for the Miltonians to discover."
He watched the cigar smoke curl upward and frowned.